The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Yeah.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock. Rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
like
that. I love
it.
That was great. Thank you.
Somebody's
laughing.
Big laughs out in the hall.
O.J. Simpson died, and look at all the press he got. People said nice things about him, actually a lot. If you want free press and compliments, dying is great. Trump should cash in on this deal. I swear it's not too late. I'll jump on the bandwagon there, Donald. There's a heck of a lot of free publicity if you
uh-huh. Short but sweet. Today for a mangy fetlocks. As the trial is beginning, they are doing voir dire. They are choosing a jury. You know, for those of us who thought there was no way Donald Trump was going to ever see the inside of a courtroom, we've been proven wrong. Hopefully this is the first of at least four, but we shall see. We shall see. So I got to tell you, I'm woefully unprepared for today. So let me go back a little. I've got stuff. Believe me, there's stuff to talk about. And of course, it is Monday when the big guns come out. So Rachel Maddow and Jen Psaki and Jon Stewart and the fucking news guy are all here today. Well, not, you know, Jonathan Larson, the fucking news guy, is here. The others are getting the big bucks where they work. It's a Monday thing. It's a Monday thing. So the reason that I'm woefully underprepared today is my foot is still messing with me. So when we last met, I'm going to get to the important stuff. Let me just get this out of the way so you know what I'm dealing with. On this edition of the Mal Ladies, where the ladies sit around talking about all that ails us. So last week I told you I finally broke down and I went to urgent care, and the doctor there thought what was bothering my foot was gout. And I was convinced it wasn't. I got the blood results back. And my the uric acid levels were not elevated. They were normal. So I thought, it's not gout. There's no way it can be gout. And besides, I saw that food list, and I don't eat any of that stuff that triggers gout, allegedly. Although I do eat beans, and beans are on the list. But anyway, so, you know, because it didn't show up in my blood work, I never took the gout medicine. I just took the you know, the steroids, the prednisone, which helped. It brought the swelling down, made the pain go away, as long as I take the prednisone. But if I don't take the prednisone, it comes back. So I broke down today, went back to my doctor, and she said, wow, I never would have thought of gout, but this looks like gout. I'm like, no. So I leave the doctor's office. I thought, all right, I'll go get the prescription filled, and I'll wait for it. The pharmacist said, oh, it'll be 10 minutes. Well, after 30 minutes, I got so frustrated. I left. I still haven't gotten the medicine. So David will go, or I'll go after the show and go pick it up. But so that consumed my whole morning. So it is gout. And yeah, I guess. And she said, hopefully, it'll just be this one flare up and you'll never hear from it again. So knocking on wood, laminate, and hope that that's the case. Now, today is April 15th. Have you done your taxes yet? I'll admit, we did. But, you know, Donald Trump, let me just say, I'm sorry, I don't like saying his name either. But he, you know, screwed everything up. When things might have been bad, he made them worse. So I got to share this video with you. I'm going to take you for a little waltz down memory lane. Because while the former guy was in the White House. What did I do with that video? Oh, man. Did I put it? It's not there. It's not there. Is it here? Shoot. You know what? I pulled this thing, and I had it here. Could it be up here? God, I really need it. I need it. I need a producer who can help me with this stuff. All right, that's not it. I'm going to find it again because now this is pissing me off. I thought I saved it, but I was going to play it right from YouTube because, because I needed to cue into the thing a little bit. And I got back to the house. It was like 1 o'clock. I go on the air at 2, had to get the broadcast set up. But see if you can remember this from 2017, which is unfortunately the year that the former guy went into the Oval Office. Trump did a couple of things. One is he enacted his massive tax cut for billionaires. Remember the $2 trillion added to the deficit that he gave in tax cuts to the uber wealthy, the people who did not need it? And it wound up blowing up the deficit. I mean, it had been increasing over the years, as those things do, but he just totally tanked it. So he did the tax breaks for the billionaires, which, by the way, is ending soon. You know, it wasn't open-ended. So it's ending. As long as we reelect Joe Biden, it'll end. If Donald Trump gets back in somehow, all bets are off. And so just one more reason to add to your list of the reasons to get out and make sure we reelect Joe Biden. But back in 2017, Trump made a big show of this nonsense. Okay, hold on. I don't know if this isn't the video that I had up. Oh, come on. I got to get past the commercial. We'll get there. You know, again, it's a Monday. Don't we love Mondays? Oh, stop it. It's showing me. Okay, here we go. So this was a scene from 6 years ago. My, how time flies. 6 years ago, when the former guy was occupying the White House, and if he can call prisoners hostages, you know, January 6th convicted criminals, if he can call them hostages, I can call him, you know, squatting at the White House. And he probably squatted, well, didn't do squats as exercise, but you know where I'm going. Anyway, see if this rings a bell, because Donald Trump swore up and down he was going to simplify our taxes. Do you remember this? You're going to be able to do your taxes. Whoops. Hold on, caller. I will get to your call in just a second, but hold on. I think the caller just hung up. Oh, well, you can call back in a minute because I got to play this for you. Remember he said you're going to be able to do your taxes on a postcard?
Now it's reform and it's lots of other things, but we're cutting taxes. It'll be the biggest tax cut in our history.
What?
There's nothing more important to our economy. You see what's happening with our economy and how well it's doing. This is going to really bring it to the next level. There's a great spirit. There's a great popularity for what we're doing in this country. They want it. They need it. They have to have it.
Ugh.
So it's been terrific.
Okay,
but I'm counting
postcard.
On all of you to help maintain a momentum on the tax cuts and tax reform during that time. I have no doubt you'll
show
be able
the postcard.
To do it. And most Americans will be able to file taxes on a single sheet of paper. What do you think about that, Kevin?
Really?
Still there, or is it going to be on paper?
There's
and a half,
the postcard.
Huh? Oh, wow.
Remember that?
We all carry our postcards out.
And he kisses it.
Great job. Thank you very much.
Watch this.
I didn't know I was going to be given a prop.
And that bag is my only
prop.
He kissed the damn thing. Yeah, you're going to be able to fill out your taxes on the postcard. And they made such a big deal out of it. And we never heard from it again. What happened to the postcard? Remember that? Do you remember that? Never heard from it again. Am I the only one like confused about this? I know this is what Trump does. He makes shit up. And then, you know, in 2 weeks, I'll give you my replacement healthcare. Healthcare thing. Yeah. No, he didn't. Oh, and I got to show you one other thing because so, the tax preparers nixed that pretty quickly, I guess. But this is the guy who shoots his mouth off about things he knows nothing about. And then you don't hear it again. He puts on this big show. Oh, you're going to do your taxes on the postcard. It's going to take 2 minutes and no problem. And come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. But my favorite thing over the weekend, and I did not watch much television over the weekend. Oh, tried to watch Billy Joel last night. We'll get to that. But there was so Mike, the little Johnson, the meeker speaker, did the ritual and flew down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the mushroom dick, right? That's a Stormy Daniels reference. I wonder if she'll be called on, on the witness stand to describe the little Donald. I don't know. Oh, okay. So our caller's back. 313, is this Detroit?
No, this is actually Atlanta, and I just have to tell you, get yourself some nettle tea. It helps the gout.
Nettle tea?
Please get
N-E-T-T? Nettle tea.
N-E-T-T-L-E, and I get the organic brand Buddha off of Amazon. It is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay, so I got the tart cherry juice, but I was in denial because I thought my blood work came back fine. It wasn't gout, but I guess it's gout.
Your story is an exact match of mine. I don't eat all the crap either, and I don't have any uric acid, but I had gout and I was crying. It was horrible. The nettle tea works.
Okay.
So,
I'll put that on the list. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. See, full service here. I'm telling you, we need to do the show, The Mal Ladies. Whenever we talk about, health issues, people relate. As we get older, we're all dealing with it. Okay, I'm seeing a couple of comments in the chat room. If you're watching video, I have a new creation behind me. I know it's hard. It's radio. And so I'm going to talk about a visual. But I love this. Can I show you what I made? So this is what I do in my spare time. So I go to yard sales, estate sales are my new thing. Estate sales are the best. If you go on the last day, everything's half off and they'll cut deals with you. You can get all kinds of stuff for next to nothing. Anyway, this baby, it's wrought iron, this outline of a guitar I found at a Goodwill. It was like $4. And I thought, I can do something with that. Well, I've been playing with resin. And so I put resin on it to make it sort of like glass, and then I thought I'll put some lights in there, and it's a and it's like a night light. So you see the lights on back. It's just a little battery pack here, very lightweight, but it's all resined and colored, and you put it on the wall in a dark room, and it's amazing. So that is, hold on, put it back on the wall. That's my newest creation. So I keep busy. Just so you know, a word of warning, I have been. No, it's not just reflecting light. There are little lights, like a string light that I have strung throughout the whole thing. So it lights up. I had it in the bathroom for a while. It was really cool. It's like a night light in the bathroom. So I'm building a new website because I've been quite prolific since we've been here in Arizona. I've told you over and over again, but to prove it, when I'm not doing this show, I need to get out of my head because, frankly, life is really depressing. So I make things. I create stuff. I did the pet porch, or it's still kind of do, but now I'm playing with resin and mosaics. So you should see this other guitar I'm working on. It's not quite done yet, but it's close. So anyway, I've been making all this stuff and it's piling up around the house. So I'm building a new website, starting this new side business where I can sell some of this stuff. And I will also do custom work. So I've got, you know what, when it's ready to go, I'll tell you, we'll do a special show. I won't take up time on this show. We'll do a special show. I'll give you a tour of some of the art that I've made. I call it art. It is what it is. The other one is a guitar as well. I can't show it to you yet, but in the next couple of days, it's pretty cool. So anyway, I'm more excited about this stuff than I am for, Trump going on trial, although it is kind of close, frankly, come on. So anyway, stay tuned for that because, I have these, I play with this faux stained glass stuff and I do it on mirrors that creates this iridescent look. And I've been collecting, again, at yard sales and estate sales and Facebook Marketplace. I get a lot of free stuff. And I've just been collecting. It's like, oh, I can do something with that. And so, like, I've got this beautiful mirror that's like a sunburst. The sun is made out of that same wrought iron stuff. And I figured I'd do a similar thing on that. That's going to be a big project. This, I had no idea how it was going to come out. And I frankly love it. So anyway, that's the shit I get excited about. And then, you know, then on a day like today, I see, okay, our taxes are due. No, our taxes are not done yet. So we have to file an extension. But however, whatever happened to the postcard thing? And why don't people call him out on this shit? How does he get to, he did this whole thing 6 years ago. Oh, tax is going to be so simple. You could do it on a postcard. Look, I'm going to kiss the paper. And then it was gone. If I say I'm going to do something, I got to do it. You know, my goodness. If you make less than 15,000 income, you don't have to file taxes. Close, but I made more than $15,000. Thank God. If I didn't, that would be really, really sad, wouldn't it? Really sad. Okay, so David just sent me something about nettle. This is my husband. He already ordered me nettle tea. So thank you, caller. I didn't even get your name, caller. So there's that. Okay, there's other stuff. Let me tell you what else is going on. So we don't watch a lot of over-the-air television. There are a couple of shows that I still, you know, record and will watch when there's nothing else. Just, I need to have noise on in the background. I opt for music, but every now and then it's just, I need the TV. I need like mindless stuff. So I watch Survivor and I watch The Amazing Race, and they're both on CBS. And because they're on CBS, I see the commercials, and they had been promoting this Billy Joel concert for weeks. Billy Joel has done a monthly residency at Madison Square Garden. And he just did his 100th sold-out concert at Madison Square Garden. And so CBS and all their brilliance made a big TV special out of it. Good idea, right? Now, we were watching it for a little while, and then we decided to turn on, we're watching, oh my God, Franklin. There's a thing on Apple Plus. I know it's Apple Plus, but I get it free through my cell phone company. Benjamin Franklin, starring Michael Douglas. It's really good. It's, I don't know how many parts it is, but you know, Benjamin Franklin was great. Just, what a character. Anyway, so we went back to watching the Franklin, and I figured, all right, well, we recorded the Billy Joel thing. I'll go back at some point and watch it. I wake up this morning to shitter, people freaking out and screaming, you know, in text form, that CBS had their Heidi moment. Now, if you're listening to the show, you're probably a little older. I don't have a lot of kids listening. But in case you are younger, what that was about, some, you know, 50 years ago or thereabouts, CBS showing a football game, and I guess it went into overtime, and for some brilliant reason, the powers that be said, oh no, the time is up. You got to cut out of the football game and go to the movie that was scheduled to run on CBS, which happened to be Heidi. Yeah, a movie about a girl sheep herder. Yodelehihu, Heidi. And so everybody missed the end of the football game. Never being much of a football fan, I don't really care, but it was a big, like, cultural moment. So last night, they're running the Billy Joel thing. He got his big song. He's ending with Piano Man. Of course he does. It's Piano Man. And CBS cuts out in the middle of Piano Man to go to local news. Local news? Are you kidding? Yeah. Yes, David. It wasn't football. It was baseball. It was World Series. Masters golf. Well, you know what? Oh no, that's what was last night. I'm talking about the Heidi. Oh, it wasn't a football game. It was the Masters Golf. So what happened? No, I didn't even mention that. The football game was Heidi. So last night, what happened was it was the Masters Golf Tournament, which apparently ran a little long. And not only that, then after the golf tournament, which is just such riveting television, you know, they had a 30... Oh, I froze. Hi, lovely. They had a 30... With a gorgeous expression on my face. Okay, here we go. We're back. They ran a 30-minute post-tournament show. So the Billy Joel thing beginning got pushed back by 30 minutes. Who's running that place? Donald Trump or Devin Nunes? A 30-minute post-golf tournament TV show that pushes back the start time of this highly promoted and hyped Billy Joel thing? And then they can't wait for the end of the damn song. They have to cut it off to go to local news, where if it bleeds, it leads. And people were bitching about, how do you do that? You cut him off in mid-song, and they were blaming the local New York affiliate. Well, it wasn't just New York. It was everywhere. The network did it. I know there should be more things that are top of mind that are a little more, but these are the cultural things that people talk about. That's the story people talk about today, not the fact that that 6 years ago Donald Trump, who was then inconceivably the president, promised us we'd be doing our tax returns on little postcards. No, although there is a free e-file tax service through the IRS that you can use as of this year. Arizona and Florida, I believe, are two of the places that it's in. But anyway, so that happened. I guess, you know, no need to watch the rest of the Billy Joel thing, especially not if I wanted to hear Piano Man. So, Jonathan Larson will be along in a little bit. I'm saving some of the big stuff to talk with him about, because I promise you, of today, he's more up on a lot of this stuff than I am. No, Billy Joel isn't the ace star he used to be. I mean, he still is. He still sounded great. But we're old. You know, time marches on. CBS does it again. And people wonder why terrestrial media is dying. Well, you know, they need to get it live. Now, something... Another good example of media that used to be good that's just gotten really bad, Saturday Night Live. So we don't watch it very often. And so occasionally, you know, I set it to record so I can go back and I'll watch Weekend Update. So I'll tell you something. This week, Weekend Update is worth it because Caitlin Clark, that's her name, right? The basketball player. She came on. Now, the two anchors of Weekend Update on SNL these days are Michael Che and the other one who's married to Scarlett Johansson, whose name I can't think of at the moment. But Michael Che is kind of a, you know, chauvinistic bigot, or at least that's how his humor plays. So Caitlin Clark came on as herself to push back. He made some joke about, you know, she's hanging up her jersey and the WNBA draft is happening and she's going to replace her jersey with an apron. So she gave it right back to him. I didn't pull it because, frankly, I can't play NBC audio because they'll copyright violate me. But it's all Colin Jost. Thank you, guys. Weird name. I'm in a mood. So anyway, it's worth watching, and you can see it on YouTube. I hear the whole episode was kind of funny, but it's all relative, you know, compared to what? I guess in a weekend that Iran lobs hundreds of drone missiles at Israel, anything that makes you laugh, that's a good thing. 300 missiles and armed drones from Iran and surrounding other, you know, Iranian allies to Israel. It's first direct strike against Israel from Iranian territory. Israel, the UK, the US, and France intercepted 99% of them. Jordan intercepted missiles over its airspace. 5 projectiles landed within Israel's borders, with one wounding a 7-year-old girl. But when you think about it, over 300 exploding devices, you know, designed to kill people were intercepted. That's the only reason Israel is still standing. They have that Iron Dome thing that, yes, we help pay for, that you know, they're constantly under fire. People who live in Israel have bomb shelters in their homes and in on every street because they are constantly living under a barrage of rocket fire. So those are the things that that sadly the news doesn't often report on. So it appears that the day is over. Of course it is, because of East Coast time. It is it's after 5 o'clock in New York. And I just saw somebody in the chat room wrote that the first day of the trial, not one juror was seated. Not one. But the game was the New York Jets were about to lose, and they had a little time left, and they ran a Hail Mary pass and won, but no one saw it on TV because CBS ran the movie Heidi. So this was akin to that. This was this millennium's edition of the Heidi debacle. Yeah. I just got to play one more thing until Jonathan. Oh, I think Jonathan's here. Cool. I'm stalling here. I'm fumfering, but I got to play this, and I think Jonathan will appreciate it too. So, before we get to the fucking news, so Mike the Little Johnson flew down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the mushroom dick, and as Republican speakers do, right? And but so he's there doing a press availability or something. You have to watch this video. And for those of you listening to audio only, I will give you the play-by-play. So here on the screen is Mike, the Meeker speaker, Johnson, in front of the microphone. And Donald Trump is behind his left shoulder, scowling at him as he does. But if you're wondering why the scowl, why the long face, listen to what Mike Speaker Mike, Meeker Speaker Mike, has to say here.
Everybody from around the world to come here, including hardened criminals, Everybody from around the world to come here.
One more time.
Including hardened criminals.
He says hardened criminals while he points to Donald Trump, and his face is even more scowly. So everybody from around the world is coming here, including hardened criminals, as he points to Donald Trump. Sometimes they just get it right. Unintentionally, but they get it right. And hey, if that's what it takes, so be it. Hardened criminals. Oops. Oh, sorry. I got to turn this off. It's going to keep going. Hardened criminals.
It's time for the fucking news from NicoleSandler.com.
And Jonathan Larson at thefuckingnews.substack.com.
He said a very bad word.
Oh, the language on you.
You're a fucking newsman.
The fucking news.
It's time for the fucking news with Jonathan Larson of thefuckingnews.substack.com. Jonathan, have you seen that clip before? The hardened criminal clip? Oh, I don't have sound on you. Yeah, is your mic on? Are you muted? Wait a minute. I bet I know what it is because, you know, on Fridays, bear with me one second. I gotta work my magic here. On Fridays, Marcy Wheeler is here. And Marcy, in case you didn't know, lives in Ireland. So we tape our segments in the morning. And then when I play back the tape, the video, the recording, for some reason I tend to get all of this double audio. It just happens that way. So I have to turn off all these inputs to stop the echo. So now I need to turn the inputs back on. Okay, Jonathan, talk to me.
Are you there?
There you are. Yeah, I just had to unmute one of these inputs there.
It's really tragic, actually, because you missed it since my mic was killed, but I was actually doing Piano Man. It was amazing.
Were you? Yeah. So you did it so the rest of us didn't have to watch Heidi.
Right. They cut to local news, I think.
They cut to local news.
Yeah.
Michael, yeah, if it bleeds, it leads. And so somebody made the decision to carry this 30-minute post-Masters exciting post-game show and put off the thing they've been promoting ad nauseum for months now and push that back 30 minutes. So people are going, where's the Billy Joel thing? And yeah. And then they cut it off before he finishes Piano Man? Is somebody...
Well, I mean, you know, it's obviously someone screwed up somewhere along the line, but it's also possible that a lot of these stations, right? You probably know this better than I do. They probably had like ad inventory that they had to show or else they weren't going to get paid. Or
let me tell you something. Local news is the moneymaker at local stations. That's really the only thing they produce is the local news programming. And the other next to the local news, their most important programming to run is that access hour between 7 and 8. That's when they run the game shows, the syndicated stuff, because that's where they get their money. Running the network stuff, they only get so many avails to sell. But during the syndicated little hour between 7 and 8 and local news, that's where they get their money. So that they're not giving you that time.
But all the more reason to get it right.
No kidding. You want to see my latest artwork?
This is not the waterfall, I take it.
No, not the waterfall.
Wow.
This is my, I bought a wrought iron guitar looking instrument and I filled it
in. A real instrument?
No, it's just wrought iron. It was the iron outline and I filled it in with resin. It's like glass like. Isn't that nice? And then I put little lights
like a stained glass.
Right. Yeah. And you put it on the wall in a dark room and it lights up. That's what I did this weekend. That's what I do when I'm not doing this.
If you don't have video, folks, it's very cool.
It's very cool. Well, I told her.
Kind of gothic, but also light.
Right? It kind of like leaded glass. It's kind of primitive because it's sloppy. But hey, you know, this is what clears my mind from all there this stuff. So I don't have to think about Iran firing 300 missiles into Israel.
What an amazing thing. I mean, I actually wrote in the fucking news this morning how the military achievement, right? Just the technological achievement of putting up jets and, you know, ground to air defense, you know, missiles and all of this stuff from multiple countries coordinated across, you know, a very dicey map.
Yeah.
And to knock out in a simultaneous barrage. It's not like, oh, we got one. Oh, we got the next one. You have to get them all.
Right.
It's like
300 and then some. And
drones,
and they got 99%
cruise
of them.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
It's crazy. But the other point I made this morning was what saved even more lives than that potentially was all the dweebs, right, who get made fun of for not being in the military. They're just diplomats. And it turns out, right, that even before this happened, they were able to mitigate what the scope and the targets of that attack were going to look like. And had they not, A, the attack might have killed more Israelis, but also B, Netanyahu might have implemented because they had days in which to come up with a retaliation plan. If it had been really bad and had actually killed people on the ground, Israel might have fired back and we might be having a very, very different conversation.
Oh,
today.
Yeah. Well, the fucking news, you actually, you said, let me see if I, hold on, get my notes down from here. Did Joe Biden just save the world?
I mean, I hate to sound like one of those people, right? Because I'm 100% about holding power accountable. And there are many, many things for which Joe Biden needs to be held accountable, right? On climate, certainly on Gaza, but your critiques are not going to mean anything or be heard if that's all you have and you can't acknowledge, wow, that was a good thing,
right?
And World War III not happening, that is firmly in my column of a good thing. And look, I don't know how much he personally deserves credit, but it's his administration, right?
Right.
He and his team put all these people into place. And his team was on the phone with France, Germany, Turkey, Great Britain, and
Jordan
at the phone lines. Sorry?
Jordan, even. Jordan.
Well, certainly in the military coordination, right? But I just mean there was a diplomatic effort. I read a great account by an Israeli journalist, Ronan Bergman, I think, who had all this great intel about how the U.S. was using all of these partners to convey a message to Iran, essentially saying, we get it. They fired on your consulate, that is your soil, and killed one of your top people. You have an imperative to do something. We don't want you to. We don't agree that you should. We would stop you if we could. But we're going to tell you right now, if you go nuts, if you do something truly, truly terrible, you're going to have to answer for it. And we're encouraging you strongly not to. And according to this guy, Bergman, Iran actually did scale back its attack. The target, the scope of it, it was certainly big, as you said, 300. The scope of it was not what Iran was capable of. And the targets that they picked were military bases and areas that were not, you know,
highly populated
central locations in the middle of cities. So that too was like, that was a diplomatic effort talking with terrorists that saved who knows how many lives, right?
Yeah.
So, and we would certainly have blamed Biden and possibly not have been wrong if things had been worse. You got to give the guy credit. Maybe he did just save the world.
Maybe he did. But in the meantime, lots of the world is still not being saved. I mean, last week when we got together, you were teasing a story that you were working on for the fucking news. It wasn't quite ready last Monday, but it was on Tuesday, and you publish it. You know, the fucking news goes out every day. But this one was about Ukraine. Now, we still don't have a funding package for Ukraine, and those people are all, you know, they're hanging on for dear life over there. And Marge Q Green seems to be the big sticking point. Now, is Trump still saying no funding for Ukraine? Is he still saying, you know,
he's not. So this is where it gets, for me anyway, really interesting. And this goes to the idea that Western media generally, but certainly US media, they're really bad at paying attention to issues around faith. And what I reported on last week was a very concerted, strategic, intentional effort by quote-unquote faith leaders to change the narrative, or at least introduce a new narrative into the Ukraine mix, right? Mike Johnson is in this spot where Marjorie Taylor Greene has said Russia is the defender of Christianity because Putin is associated with those hardline evangelical fundamentalist Christian positions, and because, frankly, Ukraine has been persecuting Orthodox churches which are seen to be, and pretty widely reported to be, working in cahoots with Putin. So it's a delicate line there that Ukraine has had to walk. And apparently they've gone over that line into full-on persecution. You can concede that. However, and so that's part of what Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about, is that, hey, Putin's the Christian, Ukraine is anti-Christian. So what's emerging now from the Christian right, and this is what I reported on, is a new narrative having to do with Russia's persecution of the non-approved churches in its home territory, as well as in the seized Crimea territory, and of course the territory in Ukraine that has been seized since the 2022 invasion. Really gruesome stuff, by the way. I don't mean to suggest that there's not truth to it. There's absolutely truth to it, and there's all kinds of very creditable accounts of horrific things happening. So what's going on, however, is not just the emergence of this new narrative. There's sort of what I called a Faustian bargain. Karen Tumulty reported late last year that Mike Johnson had refused to take a meeting with an ecumenical group of religious leaders from Ukraine late last year.
Oh, really?
However, he did agree to meet with three Ukrainian clerics and another Ukrainian, at least, in January in the House. And there are pictures of this online, which I included in my report. Now, they're all evangelicals or evangelical adjacent, the people he met with.
Right.
Ukraine's population is 2% evangelical. And so there was a story about this meeting that quoted one of the clerics in that meeting who explained, quote, it was important for Brother Mike to hear the voice of fellow believers. So the ecumenical group with Muslims and Jews didn't get to talk to Johnson last year. The evangelicals did in January. What did they say? We have some idea. Antonio, the guy I was just talking about, he said that the conversation with Johnson happened on a plane that they share. Quote, the two Christian nations, both America and Ukraine, are countries that are based on faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh.
So these evangelicals are advancing this right-wing U.S. evangelical notion that this was founded as a Christian nation. This, by the way, you probably can't see it. That is a a picture
uh-huh.
of the folks involved.
Yes, and, I can see Mike.
This guy here, no,
yeah.
there we go.
Yeah.
That guy there, he was connected to, he's basically the point man for the family in Ukraine. Now, if people don't know, the family is the secretive Christian group behind the National Prayer Breakfast
yep.
and its offshoots around the world. And as I've reported, that guy, whose name's Pavlo Ngurian, he has been an anti-LGBTQ crusader for years and has used the Ukrainian prayer breakfasts to network with other like-minded people. So fast forward a few months, and 2 weeks ago, he's not named in Ukrainian media reports, but I recognized him in the other picture. That same guy, Pavlo Ngurian, who I circled here, so
uh-huh.
that folks could see him.
Yes.
He was at a meeting with, you can't see him because he's too small,
yeah.
Zelensky.
Oh.
And religious leaders. And what they said at that meeting with Zelensky was, we want religious freedom. They passed on the same message that they gave to Johnson. This is a fight for religious freedom. And they made an ask of Zelensky. You want to know what the ask was? They had one ask.
Uh-oh.
Let me see if I can find the exact quote here.
I'm afraid.
Well, it's weird because it'll sound very silly. I don't have the exact quote, but, oh, right. This is the quote from Zelensky's office. The clergy proposed to Volodymyr Zelensky to initiate a nationwide prayer breakfast.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
So their churches and their clergy are being persecuted. And what do they ask for?
A prayer
breakfast. They ask for waffles. But what they really want is Zelensky's involvement in it. Because that's a key part of their networking. So,
Zelensky's Jewish. At
yes,
least half
well,
Jewish.
The reason. They want to bring in people who aren't like-minded so that they can be like-minded. Now, the folks who were the Ukrainians who were in Washington back in January when they met with Johnson, they were here for the National Prayer Breakfast on February 2nd, I think it was.
Of course they were.
A few days after the prayer breakfast, Ngurian and Antonia went to Plano, Texas, where they had a meeting with evangelicals, I assume, at a facility, by the way, that's connected to the guy who does PR for the family. And what they said, what Ngurian told the audience was, we need your help because we are Christians in Ukraine and we are fighting Christian persecution. And here's where the Faustian bargain comes in. According to a quote from the Baptist Standard, again,
uh-huh.
the mainstream outlets don't cover this stuff.
No.
It's the Baptist Standard,
sure.
the right-wing Christian media. They pay attention. Quote, they quote Ngurian, talking to the Texas evangelicals, quote, if Ukraine can prevail against Russian aggression and protect its freedom, Christians will have both the responsibility and opportunity to rebuild the nation and shape its future direction. So essentially what they're saying is the message they're sending quietly, covertly to evangelicals is if you help us now, you are in a position to shape the future of Ukraine, which we know because of who these people are, they see as anti-LGBTQ, anti-reproductive
yes.
rights.
Yes.
So the narrative that the prediction that I basically made was, you're going to see this narrative of religious freedom emerge more and more as a reason to help Ukraine, and that will make it harder for Trump to oppose aid to Ukraine. Same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so my prediction is you will start to see them slide towards saying, okay, under some conditions, we'll help out with Ukraine. Which, by the way,
good.
I personally would be glad to
yes,
see that
please.
Outcome.
Yes.
The question is, will anyone be cognizant of the price tag that has been put on it? And by the way, 2 days after that report came out, Mike Johnson was in Florida, met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago
yes,
to discuss Ukraine, and Trump came right out and said, I'm fine with, like, a loan. We're talking about, we're in talks about loaning it to Ukraine. I just don't want it to be a gift. So he's now on record, if he wasn't before, it's always a little fuzzy sometimes what he actually supports or not.
Yes.
But Trump is out there now basically clearing the lane for, you know, his evangelical base, which I've been searching all for the last couple of weeks, and the number of references to Ukraine and religious freedom
yeah.
in now the Western conservative press
yeah.
massively expanding.
Well,
so it's getting picked up by National Review online. It's totally getting out there into the mainstream, or at least the right wing sort of media bloodstream. Sorry.
And in the meantime, the orange one is still on his, you know, pissy mission, because Joe Biden dared to declare Easter Sunday the day of trans visibility, right, despite the fact that it's that day was always right. So then this, I happen to see this. Sorry, I'm gonna subject you to a minute or so of of his voice again. But this, people need to be aware of the shit he's saying.
Never in this country, and so far, based on the polls that came out today and over the last fairly long period of time, if you look back over the last 4 or 5 months, I'm leading every single poll.
Oh, shut up.
By a lot.
No, you're not.
We are a nation in decline. Biden is the worst president in the history of our country. He's corrupt and he's incompetent.
This is projection. You can't put two sentences together.
Okay. I predict that November 5th will go down as the most important day in the history of our country. That's election day.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most important day and moment in the history of our country.
Yeah.
We're going to close up our borders, and we're taking all of the criminals out. Uh-huh. Because many of the people
that came out,
from jails, they came from insane asylums and mental institutions.
Like
many terrorists, many drug dealers at the highest level
are
coming into our country.
Okay, get to the good part.
I predict that November 5th, it's all going to turn around. We're going to get our country back. This incompetent man that's president, he's a terrible person, he's president, he's
come
a Manchurian candidate if you look at him, because he gets money from everybody.
Oh, God.
He's a Manchurian candidate.
On.
I predict that Biden is going to be gone. It's 6 months now, that's all we have, but 6 months
right,
is a long
get
time.
To it.
Because the damage he can do in 6 months, he's done more damage than
the ten worst
presidents in the history of our country. There has never been anybody that's damaged our country like Joe Biden.
My God, he just goes.
November 5th, the most important day in the history of our country.
Man.
And it's going to be Christian Visibility Day.
There you go.
Christian Visibility Day. Christians are going to come out and they're going to vote like never before. Thank you. Thank you.
It's going to be Christian Visibility Day. Christian Visibility Day. Christians are going to come out and vote like never before. I'm sorry I made you listen to all that to get to that point.
Well, I think it underscores a really important issue, which relates to Ukraine, in that Trump now has a really powerful motive to pander to the Christian far right, to give them Ukraine aid as more and more of them become aware of what Putin is doing, to give them Christian Visibility Day, to do all kinds of things, precisely because he's concerned about what he has done with abortion and reproductive rights, and he's concerned about what the evangelical far right is going to do in various states, especially states he needs to win. So I think he's got a real motive now to try to pander and do whatever he can policy-wise and rhetorically to try to keep those people in the fold, so to speak.
The whole, you know, him going on, the Christians are going to come out in force. It's our day. What about the rest of us who aren't Christians and know that, you know, the First Amendment says you can't do that?
Well, that plus, I'm sorry, are Christians not visible today, yesterday, tomorrow? Like, what's
I think
what exactly
they're kind of visible, right?
What exactly will be different on Christian Visibility Day? Like, are they all kind of going to come out from under the rocks like munchkins?
Yeah,
what does that look like to him?
I do not know. I do not know.
Right. I mean, the concern is that what he means, what they're really fighting for is Christian exceptionalism. They don't want to be on an even par with other region or other religions. They don't want to be ecumenical. They want special status reserved to themselves, and so that's why they get a day. And then to market, the question is, how do they market? What sort of new Christian exceptionalism do they institutionalize and make concrete going forward?
Yeah, and can they, you know, maybe organize a couple more prayer breakfasts? Because that's what we really
need. It's time for prayer brunch.
How about a prayer break from the trial action? So the Trump trial of the, first of four criminal trials against Donald Trump got underway today against all odds. I really had a hard time believing we would see this day. And Well, I thought I had the audio here. Apparently, he nodded off today. Maggie Haberman went on CNN and said he fell asleep.
I heard that. Yeah, he's bored by discussions that are not about him. I suppose.
That's right. Of course. Yeah. You know, just get to it already. Like, let me disqualify that one. Oh, I want to keep that one. Apparently, they got through the date today and didn't seat one juror.
Is that super surprising? Do we find that?
No. No.
Given the number of people, I mean, I was reading this morning that they had something like 500 prospective jurors. So,
oh, at least that they've subpoenaed, you know, this is not the only case that is, you know, they're seating juries on in Manhattan, but they put out, you know, a call to like 6,000 people for this first go round, and they do a batch at a time. And I guess the judge spoke to each of the batches for 30 minutes. I got all this was in and out of doctor's office this morning. Gout. Who would think you have gout? Who gets gout that's not in the Middle Ages? Me. And I don't eat any of the shit that triggered the gout.
I was going to say, you have to have a massive cartoon-sized turkey leg that you're eating when you say that you've got gout.
My big toe. I don't drink beer. I don't drink anything fructose corn syrup. I don't eat game meats. I don't do any of that stuff. And who knows? Just, you know, getting old sucks. Beats the alternative, but it sucks. So anyway, let Donald Trump have gout. He looks like he should have gout. I don't think
He looks like gout.
He looks like gout.
I wouldn't say he looks like he has it so much as he is
everywhere.
It personified.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, this whole thing, the judge warned him that you will be here in court every day or you will risk, you know, being thrown in jail. So here's my question. In 10 days from today, the Supreme Court hears his bullshit case that he claims he has. Absolute immunity, something that doesn't exist. He doesn't technically have to be there, but he has to be in this court. If court's in session, he's got to be in this New York City courtroom and not in... at the Supreme Court, where they're hearing his ridiculous claim.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's...
sucks
that's
to be him.
The rules. Sorry, buddy. I mean, to me, what I love about these days, which so rarely doesn't really get remarked on anymore, it kind of did at the beginning, but I think people forget that the first few times that Donald Trump was physically, as an individual human being, subjected to law enforcement control, right? You have to show up at a certain day. You have to get your mugshot taken. You have to be booked and processed, right? Mm-hmm. Those first times, there were all of these fears about whether the MAGA hordes were going to show up and defend him.
Yeah.
And we don't even talk about that prospect anymore, which to me is a beautiful, beautiful thing and worth noting each time it doesn't happen. This is the first time in US history, right, that a former president has sat trial on criminal charges. I'm not saying none of the others should not have sat trial, right? We could make a list of those folks who should have.
But
the idea that Trump had history as precedent to say this is an unprecedented thing, and he has talked, he's gone up to and across the line of essentially justifying violent criminal behavior by his supporters in his defense, and they're not showing up. And I love that. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's important for people to see that when you act, it's so funny, right? Because in foreign policy, they act like you have to be tough and that'll solve everything.
Right.
Not so much, right? No. We just saw that this weekend. It's more the case in politics that, no, you actually have to uphold the norms. It's when you don't enforce the norms, that's the problem. Like the real threat to America's future is not the Yahoos, however many hundreds of Yahoos show up with capital. It's whether or not the defenders of democracy actually do the job of defending democracy.
Right. And
prosecute these people and put them away. Sorry.
Right. And the scary thing is, though, that the Republicans have just rolled over. You have to know that not every Republican in Congress is a brain-addled, you know, idiot. They know, and they made the calculation, I'll side with the grifter, and a hold on to power. It'll be power over country.
You saw that Chris Sununu interview, right, yesterday?
Oh, my God. So, you know, it's so funny. Because, no, I didn't see it yesterday. I saw clips today because I turned it off on the weekend.
I read it.
I did happen to in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm flipping channels and there's a replay.
I was up too.
Oh, we should have talked. A replay of Meet the Press on MSNBC. And right. Kirsten Welker is just horrible. And I saw the tale. She had Kristen Unu on as well. And she's like, thank you so much. It's such an honor to have you on the show. So, that's all I saw of it, was her like sucking up to him and thanking him for being there. And then I heard that George Stephanopoulos really, you know, held his feet to the fire. And it's like, he's a rapist. He's a criminal. He's a this, he's that. And you support him? It's like, yeah, me and 51% of the country.
And look, like Sununu told us who he was. He said specifically, it's politics.
Yep.
It's just all it whose is. Side am I on? I don't give a shit about the people, the person they might happen to be. I don't give a shit about their personal moral failings or criminal failings or what they plan to do this to this country. All I give a shit. He was saying explicitly,
is
this guy on my team? He is? Fine. I'm on board. Don't give a shit.
Right.
Okay.
Screw the country. Screw democracy. Screw your freedoms of religion, of speech, of whatever. You will now bow down to the dictator who's this orange thing here. It's astounding to me. And by the way, one last thing, just to rehash, go full circle. Today's April 15th. Do you know where your taxes are? Do you remember when Donald Trump held up the thing? It's like, you're going to be able to fill out your tax returns on a postcard. And he kissed it. And then we never heard another word about it. The guy lies with every ounce of his massive bulk. And, you know, how does he, they did, it took up all these news cycles. It's bullshit. All he did was add trillions of dollars to the deficit by giving this giant tax cut to the billionaires. And we never got to fill out our taxes on a postcard. I still can't figure out my taxes. So, you know, stop it, Donald. Just had to get that out.
I really hope, I would love to be the auditor at the IRS who is getting Donald Trump's taxes this year. Like, okay, let's have at this one.
And meanwhile, we've still never had seen him release one single year's tax returns.
Right.
They're being audited. It's perpetual auditing.
Perpetual auditing, yeah.
Please. Come on, man.
Well, I mean, the guy, you got to give him credit for one thing. He's got a lot on his plate right now.
I'd say he's got big balls, but we've heard he doesn't. Thanks, Stormy Daniels. All right, with that, to be continued, Jonathan Larson, find him at thefuckingnews.substack.com. That's where you subscribe and you get the news in the morning delivered to your inbox with a sufficient amount of snark and really good information. And the two just go together perfectly. So Jonathan Larson joins us every Monday. Thank you so much. So tomorrow, let me tell you what's going on tomorrow. So I was out in the garage over the weekend playing with my stuff. I do play art. It's all my stuff. And I look up and these two women are walking up the driveway. And one of them says, we're Democrats. I'm like, yeah, babe, because we have the Biden-Harris sign out in the front yard. I I'm in Arizona. I'm just asking for it. But so far, it's been there about a month and nobody's heard it or anything. Anyway, so the two women are both running for school board in Maricopa County. One I had met before doing canvassing in my neighborhood, Zaina. And then she had with her Laura Metcalf, who's running for Maricopa County school superintendent. And this is so important here because, you know, Turning Point USA is based here. And they are running all their Turning Point and, you know, Moms for Liberty and those kind of people to get on the school board. So this is actually one of the most important elections, I think, facing us right now. And it is not only here in Maricopa County, but everywhere around the country. So I invited them to come back tomorrow and we're going to talk about running for office and why the school board races are probably more important than almost any other, you know, except for the presidency and Senate, all the others, but as important, let's put it that way. It never ends. So that's what we're doing tomorrow.
Very cool. All right. Very cool.
Thank you.
And it looks like there's like a backlash now against, right? They got the a lot of these Moms for Liberty types, right? They got control of some school boards in the last cycle or two, but we're starting to see signs of backlash in special elections and
exactly.
So on. So hopefully people are waking up to it.
Yes. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow. So I'll be better prepared tomorrow than I was today. Now I got to go get my gout medicine. Fun.
Enjoy.
Fun times, baby. Tart.
Bon appetit.
Tart cherry juice, some kind of tea, and then, medicine. All right. And then I'll go smoke a big fat blunt. I know you. You know, yeah. You blew my mind last week. So yeah. That you've never ever smoked pot. I mean, that's great. That's fine. You know, I don't drink. I like the weed. But I grew up in South Florida in the 70s, and you got to know it. Everything was there. So different learned experiences growing up. And now it's legal. All right. Yes. Enough.
I got no excuse anymore.
No. Well, one of these days we'll meet. We'll smoke a big one, a fat one, a fatty, as they say. All right. Jonathan Larson, thefuckingnews.substack.com. I'll see you next week, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and take care of yourself. Peace out.